You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, in today's gospel reading that we'll come to in a few moments from John chapter 1, we're going to see several ways in which John, who was sent from God, is pointing people to our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we do that, though, let's think about John in a way. He was so important, but John has no importance of himself. He was only important because of the role he had in pointing people to Jesus Christ. We live in a world today where many in the world are putting great importance on Christmas. They have to have people over, they have to decorate, they have to have a special meal, they have to have everything just right. And yet I'm here to say today that Christmas has no importance of itself unless it is pointing people to Jesus Christ. So the whole purpose of John, point people to Christ. The whole purpose of Christmas, point people to Christ. As we do our own preparations, as we have our own celebrations, may God help us to be focused on Jesus, and may God use us to point others in that same direction. Going to today's gospel reading, we're in John chapter 1, picking up in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Thinking about the Bible, it does record many people being called to serve God. So we can think about many of the prophets and the apostles, but when it comes to the phrase sent from God, in the English Standard Version of the Bible, that phrase only appears two times. The first time it appears is when God sent an angel to Mary, the angel Gabriel to Mary, to tell her that she would be the one to bear the very Son of God. The second time is when God sent John to tell others about Jesus, to point them to Jesus Christ. And really, why did John do such a thing? Why was he called to do such a thing? It tells us right in the text, so that all might believe in Jesus through the testifying of John. So God desires all people to know they are in trouble because of sin and to know that Jesus Christ is the only answer for everyone. Dr. Kretzmann wrote this short note: through the word, by faith, Christ is received. Through the word, by faith, Christ is received. So do we have other people that we know and love? Sure we do. Do we want them to be with God forever in a wonderful situation? By all means. So what can we do about it? We can share the word of God with them, knowing that the Holy Spirit will work in conjunction with that word, and God can enable them to receive Jesus Christ. So the word becomes so important. Now we jump ahead in John chapter 1 all the way to verse 19, and here it tells the identity of John. Who is he? The Bible says, "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" So the priests that were sent, they were ordained descendants of Aaron, the first high priest. The Levites who were sent, those were non-ordained descendants of Levi. Thinking about John, let's think about some special things about him. First of all, Gabriel was sent to Zechariah, the father of John, to tell him that Elizabeth, his wife, would conceive. And then Elizabeth, in her old age, as the Bible says, did conceive John. It seems to be a miracle. And then we think about how John dressed with very rough clothing, how he ate very unusual food. And then we think about the vast multitudes of people going out to hear him and be baptized by him. Some people estimate that as many as 250,000 people went out to hear John and possibly even to be baptized by him. So what's going on here? The Pharisees should have been connected in on all of that, and yet all this is going on with John, with a vast multitude of people, and they don't know what's going on, so they send some particular priests and some particular Levites in order to investigate this whole thing. That is the situation. So first of all, we focus on who John is not. Going back to the Bible, verse 20, it says, John confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So what were they thinking? Hey, this guy is so unusual. So many people are coming to see him. Maybe he is the Christ. But right away, John said, nope, I'm not the Christ. Get that thought out of your mind. And then they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. The Old Testament promises that Elijah would come, and even Jesus said that John is Elijah. But what does that mean, though? It doesn't mean that John was actually Elijah in the flesh, but it meant that John came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. That's how he was Elijah, but he wasn't actually Elijah himself. And then they asked John, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. What does that mean, the prophet? We have to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and Moses said this to the people, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. So these people who were sent are thinking, hey, are you the Christ? Are you maybe Elijah? Are you the prophet? And the answer in each case was no. But what these leaders did not understand, though, that the prophet who was to come and the Messiah who was to come, those two are one in the same person. And we're talking here about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is both the prophet and the Messiah. Now we find out who John is. Going to verse 22, the Bible says, so they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So they were probably getting a little bit frustrated. Can you imagine it? Every time they're getting a no answer. Are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. They're like, well, what are we going to do here? So they ask him now a more open-ended question. What do you say about yourself? And John answered by quoting the prophecy about himself from Isaiah chapter 40 by saying, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So that tells not only who John is, but it also tells what he was called to do, to make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, John was sent by God to call people to repent, to call them to acknowledge their sin, be sorry for their sin, and trust in the coming Messiah. Without acknowledgement of sin, the other things are not going to come about. So if you don't know you have sin, you're not going to be sorry for your sin, and you're not going to trust in the Savior from sin. But what huge problem do we have in the world today? We have most people saying, this book is not from God. So if people believe that, that means that theoretically they have no sin. Because even though this book might say such and such is sin, if they're able to say, well, this book is only a book written by men, so just because those men said this is sin doesn't mean that's really sin. They think it is sin. I say it's not sin, so I'm not even a sinner. Do you think a lot of people are coming to such conclusions today? At least to some extent, I think people are like that. Even for us, do we want to say that sometimes? Sure, there are things in this book that we would like to do, and God is restraining us, and we're like, did you really mean that, God? And we're trying to like figure out a way we can work through that somehow. But God wants us to know this is his word, this is best. So when we compare what he said versus what is going on in our lives with our thoughts, our words, and deeds, wherever there is a difference, that is sin. God wants us to acknowledge that, to be sorry for that, and to know that it's all taken care of in the Christ of Christmas. So that same message is important today, even as it was in the days of John. Even Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So repentance is really important. And then going further in the text here, we go on to focus now on John's work as we pick up in verse 24. It says, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. So we're talking here about the priests and the Levites, and we find out where they came from. So really the Pharisees wanted to know, and they sent these men as their own representatives. And then it says that these men who came, they asked John, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, the one coming after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Did you catch the one thing he said there? But among you stands one you do not know. So here is a crowd of people of some size. People in the crowd are talking to John, and John says that someone right here in the crowd with you, you don't even know about him, but he is so great, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loosen up his sandals. So this is before Jesus' ministry began, so people didn't know who he was, but the way that John said it, Jesus was right there in the crowd, but not yet identified. As we think about what John was called to do, he was sent from God. He was to call people to repent, and then after they repented, he baptized them. In other words, he applied the means of grace to them. So God has chosen to give us his forgiveness in a limited number of ways. So God works through his word to impart to us forgiveness of sins. God works through holy baptism to impart forgiveness of sins, and God works through the holy sacrament to impart forgiveness of sins. Also, too, through the words of absolution, he gives us the forgiveness of sins. So he's limited giving out his forgiveness in those particular ways according to the Bible. So for John, he's bringing the word of God. People are sorry, so they come to be baptized. And through that baptism, they are receiving that forgiveness. So when I baptize a child today, all I can do, the only ability I have, would be to say a few words and to apply the water. But I can't forgive. I can't unite to Christ. But let's know that in baptism, God is at work to do that. God is at work to take that person being baptized and to clothe them in Jesus Christ. So John was similar. John was simply applying the means of grace to those who were repentant. And then thinking about Jesus' greatness for a moment, think about the difference between a master and a slave. Maybe difficult to think about, but I bet this would be easier, though. Think about the difference between an employer and an employee. And think about the employer being the owner of the company, which is maybe a multi-million dollar company, and now you are an employee at that company. So for the owner and for the employee, I'm pretty sure they both put their pants on one leg at a time. So there are similarities between the two people, but then there are great differences too. This man has many millions of dollars. This man is scraping by on what he has paid. But yet though, as we think about the difference between a master and a slave, It was the job of the lowliest slave to go to the master to take off his sandals and to wash his feet. But John is saying, though, that Jesus is so far up here, and I'm so far down here, that I'm not even worthy to loosen up his sandals. It's good to remember who he is. He is the very Son of God. He is God from eternity. He is God in human flesh. He did for us what we could never do. So, sure, we can be in a relationship with him, and that's a wonderful thing, but let's always remember how great and powerful he is, and let's always remember what he did for us. So John was saying, I'm not even worthy to loosen his sandals, but what I can do, though, is I can point others to him. He is the light of the world. He is the one who is going to do everything for us. So there are many things that we can't do in life, but what we can do, though, is we can point others to Jesus. The final verse here today, verse 28, it says, these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. So as I conclude today, I want you to know that the Bible is real, true history about real places and real people. It's not just a made-up kind of a book. So there was a real place called Bethany near Jerusalem. The one we're talking about today is Bethany beyond the Jordan. So that was about 40 miles away from Jerusalem going east, and it was just on the other side of the Jordan River. So John was really in that place, and he was really doing preaching and baptizing in that place. Whenever we come to the Bible, it might be a little bit hard to understand in certain ways, but as we are diligent in reading it and thinking about it, God will open our hearts and minds to understand it and to believe it and to rejoice in it. So let's always know it is true, and let's always know that no matter how great our sins are, let's know that what Jesus did is greater and that in him we have God's gift of forgiveness. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, in today's world of sin and death, help each of us to be more like John by sharing your word with others, even calling people to repent, and then help us that we might point them to Jesus, your Son, the Christ of Christmas. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.